Yesterday, we had introduced the Braisa, and now I want to continue as the Gemara pulls apart the Braisa before we come back to the Tosa. So we have two little pieces of sugya to do. Hillel, if you'd be so kind as to read for us, please. We are starting on the bottom of Lamed Hei Amud Beis. My Arayos and My Shnios. Okay, so this is a very interesting statement that the Gemara makes. If Arayos really means, Shnius L'Arayos here really means the Rabbanans, right? We said yesterday, Arayos are the Arayos D'Araisa, however, I don't know how many there are, Parshas Achrimos. And Shnius L'Arayos are the Rabbanans, you know, the extensions. So then, the Gemara says that can't be. Why not? Because, what is the assumption of this Braisa? First, I don't know if I said this yesterday. I think it's kind of obvious, but I don't think it's pointed out explicitly, is that this Braisa is against the Mishnah. Right? The Mishnah assumed that Chayvei Lavin and Chayvei Krisus, which includes Arayos, Knas Ishayach. Right. Why would there not be Knas by Arayos or Chayvei Lavin? So I heard two different things which were both correct, but two completely different angles. It's an issue that comes up on the little Tosis on the top of, or the little print Tosis on the top of Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. What I heard coming from this corner, from Daniel, was Kamlei B'Derab Aminei. What I heard coming from Yaakov was V'lo Siya Elisha. Those are two very different reasons. Kamlei B'Derab Aminei is a technicality. In principle, Arayos and Lavin would be Chayiv in Knas, except that, and subject to many various opinions and limitations, in cases where you get another punishment, or you potentially get another punishment, so then you don't pay Mammon. So we spent a lot of time on the Kamlei B'Derab Aminei piece at the end of last semester. There's a second possibility, which has nothing to do with what you hold by Kamlei B'Derab Aminei. And remember, there's a whole range of shittos where you don't say Kamlei B'Derab Aminei. Everybody, do you say Kamlei B'Derab Aminei by Chayvei Misus Beis Din? Maybe Rabbi Meir holds differently. Do you say Kamlei B'Derab Aminei with Chayiv Kares from Tchoni Ben Akana? Do you say Kamlei B'Derab Aminei by Chayvei Lavin? Well, it depends whether you hold like Ula, or you hold like Rabbi Yochanan, or you hold like Rish Lakish. Right? Different ways of applying. But when it comes to V'lo Siya Elisha, it's a totally different parasha. V'lo Siya Elisha says that whatever is not called, V'lo the Gemara's Kasha, the first, like almost the, on Chav Testament Beis, was why is there Knas by the Lavin in the Mishnah, by the Krasis in the Mishnah? The Torah says, V'lo Siya Elisha, it should be a woman who's Ru'uya to marry him. If a woman is not Ru'uya to marry him, so then there's no Knas. So the Gemara gives it teretz. The Gemara gives whatever teretz, the ribuyim of Rish Lakish, whoever else, fine. And then the Gemara points out that there are two Tanoim who happen to disagree. And they, one of them says that whenever Kiddushin on Atovsin, there's no Knas. And the other one says whenever it's Asa to marry the person, there's no Knas. What those Shitos are really saying, though, is that it's not as in Kamlei B'Derab Aminei, when a man is Baal Bito, or Baal Achoso, or Baal Mamzeres, when we're, if you don't pay Knas, really, you're Chayiv Knas, it's in the Parasha, except that the Beis Din can't enforce it. However, if you adopt the position of V'lo Siya Elisha, it means that the Torah is simply not talking about this case at all. It has nothing to do with whether you do or don't get an onus, what the onus would be. The Torah only prescribes Knas in a situation where the man potentially can marry her. In the case of Ones, he has to marry her. In the case of Mefata, maybe he should marry her. However, it's simply not in the Parsha at all. Okay, now, when we talk about Shnius L'Arayos, obviously, when the Torah says V'lo Siya Elisha, it's not excluding Shnius L'Arayos, because according to the Torah, you're allowed to marry those women. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, of course, you'd be Chayiv in Knas. How can you say that they're not Chayiv in Knas? Does this question make any sense to you whatsoever? When the Gemara says, does that question make the slightest bit of sense to you? Did you just slavishly read the Gemara and say, oh yeah, okay, since Midrabanan, since midrabanan, you're allowed to marry her, obviously there has to be knas. What?
Wasn't it the flip?
What?
The verse is still right. You could have married this person. So you could have married this person. Therefore, in fact, the rabbanan says you can't because that doesn't issue doesn't come from right. Even if you can't actually marry her, you're right that you should also pay her for what you do to her if you, in theory.
Meet a bit deraisa, you could marry her.
Yeah.
Well, that's what the Gemara is saying. That mean, and therefore, since the issue is only the rabbanan, obviously pay knas. I'm asking you, does that question make any sense to you?
Well, I mean, I can give a logic for it.
I know that you can give a logic to it, but knowing what you know of Shas Metzger, does that question, do you find that a compelling question?
No, because if the Rabbanan said it doesn't work, then the knas goes out the window right away, so who cares?
No, but if the Rabbanan can do Rabbanan can create an Isser, they can also take away money.
Right.
So the notion of the Rabbanan reassigning property on the basis for the moment, let's say, of Hefker based in Hefker, that's not a Chiddush. If the Rabbanan declared these women to be Shneos Larayos, it is perfectly, absolutely, positively plausible that the Chachamim could say, because we declare them Isurei Bia, if you believe that when it comes to Arayos, to Isurei Bia, there is no Knas, because it's not Filosi Elisha, so then you could also say that the Rabbanan suspended the Knas. And in fact, this one is a no-brainer. There is a major, major sugya. I'm sure we must have mentioned it last semester at some point. I'm sure I mention it every semester because you can't not mention it. It's probably one of the most central principles of halachic operation, which is that the Chachamim have the power to make Zeros. And the Chachamim have the power to make Zeros, generally speaking, Zeros the Rabbanon, are being machmir and prohibiting something that is fundamentally mutter. And that is not inherently problematic. As a general rule in life, if something is mutter but you don't want to do it, it's okay for you not to do it. It's really okay. But the Chachamim have greater powers. They have the power sometimes to override Torah law, even in ways that might be theoretically in violation. One of the basic principles that the Gemara arrives at in conclusion on Daf Tzadi in Yevamos, in Perek HaIsha Rabbah, is that Shevi Al Tasa Shani. One Rav Chista said, I was going to ask you, Orel and Ismael and Hazah and Shofar and Lulav and Sittis, I was going to ask you all these kashas to prove that the Chachamim are Oker Dover Min HaTorah. But once you gave me the answer, Shevi Al Tasa Shani, I realized those are all situations where we violate Torah law passively. Do you blow a shofar on Shabbos since the first day of Rosh Hashanah? The answer is no. But it's a mitzvah saseh deraisi mevatel. The answer is Chachamim Oken Mastin Lach or Davar Min HaTorah b'Shevi Al Tasa. Do you pick up a lulav and esrog arba minim on the first day of Sukkot when it's Shabbos? The answer is no. Right? Do you violate Isurim Derabanan to bring a sakin through a rishus a chatzer sheina mureves to do a mila on Shmini on Shabbos on a tinok? The answer is no. But you being mevatel a mitzvah saseh deraisa which involves kares doesn't matter. By Dine Mamanos, so firstly, this is a passive case. It shouldn't be any different. But the Gemara also points out that when it comes to Dine, because they tell him not to pay knas. So he just doesn't do anything. He doesn't steal money actively. He doesn't take money that's not his. This is Shevi Al Tasa. But when it comes to monetary issues, you don't even need Shevi Al Tasa. The Gemara says, and that's sugya, Hefker based in Hefker. Based it as the power to take property and reassign it to another party. Every takana de rabbanon in the area of dinei mamonos that shifts the din from what would have been a din daraisa relies upon the principle of hefker based in hefker. And the chachamim have that power. They have that power at least to take away property from someone, and some even claim this, I'm very important, avnei miluam, that the chachamim have the power to be maknet midoraisa to someone. The chachamim have such a power. So once you realize that principle, that number one, this is a Shevi Al Tasa, number two, it's Dine Mamanos, why did the Gemara think that you couldn't suspend the Knas in a case of Shneas Larayas? It's a pellet, Danny?
I mean, in this case, they're not, I feel like always, I mean, I don't know, I feel like cases of Hefker based that I've seen, it's usually, they're trying to compel somebody to pay somebody else, give them money that they're supposed to pay, that they don't have to, whereas... But at least, let's say in this case, the person who has to pay the kanas is being told, instead of being compelled by the Torah to pay this woman that he just waived kanas, instead the rabbanan is saying he does not have to do that anymore. So right. There's less of a reason to say that you would employ Hefker-based Hefker to make him not be punished and not have to be the master.
So I don't think that that's true. I think those Hefker-based Hefker works equally to be Machzik Mammon as it is to be Motzi Mammon. It's easier. It's easier in principle to be Machzik Mammon. I don't see why the Chachamim... You might offer me a reason why the Chachamim didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
But I might want to say Shalech Otei Niskar or something like that. But
that's perfectly.
That's fine, but that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, Kaven de midaraisa chazile amayin lahim kanas.
Meaning,
it's
sort of found it appropriate for this sinner to pay the money, right? The Rabbanah would not tell him that he doesn't have to pay after he did something.
No, I'll be svarif. The Gemara didn't say these words. I would agree. That's very logical. But the Gemara says that came in the Raisa Chazile Amayin Lahim Knas. So I'm disappointed in you, Brick, because you should be jumping up and saying Lumdus now in the Gemara's question. Zach.
I just think that there's no reason to say that they shouldn't get the Knas. They shouldn't get the Knas if they're Mutter Deraisa, because if Losi Elisha doesn't apply to them, that's the only thing that would...
But called the Tikkun Rabbanon came in the Raisa Tikkun.
Well, but they weren't talking this for the purpose of Knas. They were talking this for so that to be the Hachikon from the other Raisa. That's got nothing to do with the Knas.
See,
so why should that follow?
That's
that
the difference between you and him. He is just trying to. He thinks the way I think.
Okay. What did he say?
Say it again. He thinks the way I think, but I'm trying to think the way you think. And you're supposed. He said. Say it again. What's that?
As you should.
Say it again. Jacob. We get along well, and it's okay to argue with me too, even my methodology. Yes, Zach. Go ahead. Explain to what you just said.
The kana of Shnius Laraya has nothing to do with the Knas. So the only reason that a Deraisa case of Laraya shouldn't get a Knas is because of the possibility of Isha. But here that doesn't apply.
So you should formulate this more nicely. This is just all the gush and I called the guys here. I'm brokenhearted. It's Yudi.
Well, by the way, the Inkot and Iskar can still work the sentence, especially using the same idea.
But you're saying that's a reason that they shouldn't apply it. But I'm saying that there's no reason they shouldn't apply it.
I understand. See, that there is a difference. Yudi, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, aren't they just trying to figure out what they mean by Shneel Arayot?
No.
Why would they try to fit something in? Like, they don't want to have a confliction between Deraita and Derabbanah. They're trying to figure out what it means.
Yes, but let's start with the following point. I'm willing to venture, I'm going to go out on a limb now, even though I'm not a bucky in the whole Shas, that there's nowhere else in Shas where Shnius Larayos doesn't mean the Isurim Derabbanah enumerated in Yuvamos in the second parak. The Gemara is ultimately going to say it doesn't mean what it really should mean here because of this reason. And I'm questioning, why is this reason an impediment? Just say the Rabbanon. Say that. It's the Rabbanon. Called the Tikkun Rabbanon. Okay, the Raisa Tikkun Velo Si Elisha. Why not? Adin.
I'm scared now.
I am not scary. Okay. What's the worst that could happen? I could fail you and ruin your career. Nobody ever fails her. So, yeah.
You're saying that the requirement for... Shimon is Loti Elisha? Yeah.
No. What's that?
So Loti Elisha just means Loti that or Ruila Kaima Mido Raisa, that even though they say you can't marry him, the level that gets you, that's Machayev Knas. I think I'm just repeating what the Gemara is saying, so I don't think I'm...
If you picked Shimon Menasya, and that's for sure Temoni, it's not Akasha anyway, because in other words, even Chayvei, that's an interesting question, but Chayvei Lavin, this Knas. Velosi Elisha only holds with no Tvisas Kiddushim. So certainly Shneas Larayos, so no question should be Chayev. But according to, yeah.
I don't know why this, whether it be in Kota Nistar or something like that, the sentence can still work fine. I mean, the fact that, right, just because Kivan de Raisa Chazile, since we realize that this would be fine, the Raisa, right? Why should they not get a Knas? Just because the Rabban make it usher that we should marry them should not make them lose their Knas. Just from a logical perspective, whether you want to say from the...
You're breaking my heart. I've corrupted you.
It works so simple.
I've corrupted you. Yes, Alex.
I don't understand how we're entertaining the possibility of Inkot and Iskar, because doesn't that fall apart when we consider the case of Mimayas?
We're only talking... it's only a discussion within this part of the Braisa. Each part of the Braisa operates... There are four clauses in the Braisa we read yesterday. Each one operates independently.
But wasn't that the whole question of the Ramban? Why by Mimayas are we not
Hold on. I know. We'll get to the Ramban eventually.
I'm saying that Ein Chotein Isker can't be the answer because then we would have to apply that there also.
But by...
Whereas Zach's answer works here and doesn't...
Okay, fair enough. But before we even go there, I just want to, it's a more obvious question. I just, in terms of understanding what the Gemara says now, AJ? Hey, Sam. I'm thinking, I want the one who went to Gushier, not the one who went to Shraga. Yeah.
This is kind of more of a question, but are we assuming like the halachic payment of Knas is like the same dinam as halachic payment of Hefker, Bez, and Hefker? Could they be different kinds of payments?
No. Mamanos is all one. I mean, in the moment, Knas are different, but not with regards to Hefka, Bes, and Hefka.
Are you looking for more something that Knas is defined by people who are Mutzer Zeraisa?
No. This is a question of what is the nature of the Xer, Shnias Larayas. In effect, was it Nisr Gav or Nisr Hefza? In other words, did the Rabbanon declare that a Shnias Larayas are Arayas, but on the Rabbanon level? Or is it simply an Isr Bia that you're not allowed to have with one of the Shnias Larayas? In other words, it's not a broad sense of defining this woman as an Erevah, but mid-Rabbanon, but rather saying you're not allowed to marry her, you're not allowed to have Bia with her. And the difference is, if you declare her to be an Erevah mid-Rabbanon, it means that presumably, the default should be that she has all the dinim of an Erevah D'Oraisa on a D'Rabbanon level.
You mean in Yeshivas in general, that D'Rabbanon
I don't want to generalize that part. I just want to say it here. When the Gemara says...
You just cut the Gabra. You don't want to like...
I want to see it specifically. I don't want it to be
so
this...
The way you would specifically work with this is in general we have an idea that there are abundance or things that are requirements. They can't talk about a chefza.
They're Gabra. It's Yusuri Gabra.
That the world belongs to Hashem. They can't really talk about chefzas. They can only talk about Yusuri Gabra and... Yes.
Fine. So my point is here, the Gemara says, Kev mederaisa chazilei. It means that there's not that an erva. There's not a divin erva, but Shnias Larayas are not arayos, meaning they don't have the status of erva across the board. They're a very specific dinim. By Shnias Larayos, for example, we don't say by Shnias Larayos that Kiddushin aren't tofsin. Now, the Rabbanon do have the power to make Kiddushin not tofsin if they want. Whatever the mechanism is, the Rabbanon have the power to prevent Kiddushin from being chal. Take a very simple example. The Gemara, Rashi points out, the Gemara in the first parak of Pesachim says that a mekadesh b'sheish shaos an er pesach afil b'chidei kord nayosa, so you're dealing with chametz the Rabbanon and shaos the Rabbanon, and the woman is not mekudeshes. Rashi there claims it's based upon the principle of afkinu Rabbanon l'kiddushim and afkas kiddushim. I don't really care exactly what the principle is based upon, but at the end of the day, the possibility of the Rabbanon choosing to be mafkia kiddushin, they have the power to do so, but they don't always do so. For example, when you have psule edus the Rabbanon, and you mekadesh in front of psule edus the Rabbanon, it's a big machlokas harishonim. Big machlokas whether psule edus the Rabbanon, the kiddushin aren't chal or not. So here, when it comes to shnias darayas, what's the din if a man is mekadesh his mother's brother's wife? Minatora it's mutter, mid the Rabbanon it's aser. If he goes and gives his aunt, this aunt, only one of the four aunts is the Rabbanon, gives her a kesef kiddushin, says, Arant mikudesh asli b'tabaz zokedas Moshe v'Yisrael. Does she require a get to marry someone else? What? Absolutely, positively, yes.
Wait, is there right? So is it good?
Correct. And the Rabbanon didn't choose. Could they have been mafkia the kiddushin? Yes, they could have. They have the koach to do so. Everybody agrees here. They chose not to do so. I would argue that's because the kiddushin. In other words, you have to give her a get. But they didn't say that she can remarry without a get. If you go to your sister, you go to your aunt, you go to your mother's sister, your father's sister, your father's brother's wife, the three aunts that are Osir Midaraisa, you give them a ring, you say Arat Mekudeshesli, they don't need a get from you. They go remarry someone else. But by Shnias Larayas, a get is required. So it means the Rabbanon did not turn Shnias Larayas into a Ervab Midarabbanon, but rather it seems to be it's just an Isser Bia. It's an Isser Bia, but if you're Mekadesh, you acquire a get. And therefore, that's why I think, since it's not, if you were dealing with an Erva mid the Rabbanon, where they declared her to be the Chetzah, to be an, you know, an Erva, so then presumably it would not be hard to imagine why someone would be Pater from the Knas. Mid the Raisa, you're only Pater according to whichever Tana in the Gemara is about to say. Mid the Raisa, you're Pater by Arayos the Raisa, and mid the Rabbanon, you're Pater by Arayos the Rabbanon. What the Gemara, I think, is saying is that Kevan, the Midaraisa Chazila, therefore Ma'ilem Knas. The starting point in the discussion should be is that once Midaraisa, she's Ruya, she's not in Chavtza of Arayos Midarabanan. She's just an Isser Bia. You're not allowed to, bin Rabbanan, they prohibited having bia with her. But is she suitable for marriage? Yes. But you're not allowed to bia with her. And that, if it had been cheftza of arayos, so then presumably the default option would have been Einlam Kanas. Maybe because Shiloh Yechay Teniska, we would decide to create a Kanas and make an exception. But the Gemara says, Kevan de Bidaraisa Chazile, she's not an Erva. You're just not allowed to have bia with her. You're not supposed to marry her, but she's not an Erva, and therefore it's not. She's not excluded, even on a Rabbanon level, based upon the pasuk of Elo Sielisha. In other words, Kol the Tikkun Rabbanon Kein Daraisa Tikkun doesn't apply here, because the Erva Shnius LaRayos are not Midrabbanon treated like Arayos Daraisa are treated Midaraisa.
Isn't it so much more satisfying thinking this way?
No.
Why does she still not get the knas? I mean, you can't say it's because.
So the Gemara says to answer the question. The Gemara is going to say, the Gemara will say that Shnius LaRayos, you do pay Knas. The standard Shnius LaRayos. They're going to say, Shnius here means something different than you think it means. Okay. I don't like it because most of the time I don't really believe it's true.
Do this one you believe?
Maybe.
I mean, in general, the Rabbanans, they have a lot of different things about how they can create chatzos.
So I'm going to raise another question for you.
Like, that's why they say you can't.
There was something in the Ramban that I wanted to point out. I have never seen. I've heard what you quoted in the Sivas quoted, but let me frame this from a different angle just to think about. And I don't want to go any further. I was going to give you a Tosis and Sukkah to look at because there's a big discussion in the Acharonim about this, but I'll just mention it to you. The Rabbanon have the power to be Mafkia at the Reis Akim. The example that comes up is, what if you have a Sukkah? So machlokas be shamay be silo, where the sukkah has to be machzekes rosho v'ruba v'shulchano, or just rosho v'ruba without shulchano. The Gemara in Sukkah Daf Gimel and Aleph points out that this is a two-part machlokas. Machlokas number one is whether or not, if your sukkah is very small, so small that it only holds rosho v'ruba, is the sukkah kshera or not? Beishamai says it's psula, and therefore they would say you're not yotze the mitzvah of sukkah. You're not yotze the mitzvah of sukkah. Why not? Because it's not a sukkah ksherim in a Torah. And Beisila says a sukkah's ksherim. But the Gemara points out that there's another machlokas, Beishamai Beisila. What if you have a very large sukkah, but you sit by the door of the sukkah, where Rosho Verubo is in the sukkah, but your shulchan's outside the sukkah? Now there, you can't say the sukkah's psula, because it's a huge sukkah. You also can't say, Minat Torah, you're not really Yotze, because you ate in the sukkah. You just left your shulchan out. Beis Shammai, however, is gozer, that Shema Yimashech Achar Shulchana. We're afraid you're not allowed to eat that way in a sukkah, because maybe you will end up leaning outside the sukkah and eat, because your table is there. The question is, do the Rabbanon have the ability to say that you're not Yotze Midaraisa? When Midaraisa, you would be required to do it again. Now, Sukkah is an odd case, because what do you mean do it again? You ate. You either ate in the Sukkah? You didn't eat in the Sukkah. Supposing Midaraisa, you're chayav to eat one Suda, Laila Rishona, in the Sukkah. And you ate that one Suda on the edge of the door, and it was sitting outside. So that's a big discussion. The pashtus, of course, to that question, the pashtus answer is what? No. The bottom line is Midaraisa, you fulfill the mitzvah. The Chachabim can create a chi of the Rabbanon to eat again in the sukkah, but they can't actually say Klapei Shmaya that you weren't Yotze. That's a very difficult sell. Now, presumably that is what's related here. In other words, the Rabbanon don't have the power to redefine reality, which is, you know, make crazy sui chetza. The Rabbanon simply have the power to regulate behavior. That's an Isur Gavra. Okay. Anyway, if you're that sukkah, but it's a very important Tosas, because Tosas lists the cases in Shas that we paskin like Beis Shammai. Okay, it's Daf Gilam Aleph. It's the big Tosas that you can't miss. Okay. So anyway, so that's what I think the Gemara's question here means. It means that Arayos, Shnius LaRayos, are not actually Arayos. There is an Isser Bia midrabanan, but it doesn't redefine the status of the woman, and therefore it doesn't make sense even on a derabanan level to pater her from knas, because it's not, she's not excluded from based upon velosia elisha. Okay. Next. Okay, so now the Gemara doesn't like that suggestion. Therefore, what does it say? Okay. Okay, so the Bryce is saying that the Gemara's suggestion here is Chayve Mises Bezdin and Chayve Kresus, you would be Pater on. Okay, why are you Pater? There are two possibilities, and Tosis points out that one of them is wrong. What's that? Correct. It could now. If it's based upon Velosia Elisha, so then, obviously, which is the track the Gemara is going to go on, then you have to say that for some reason, Chayve Lavin, even though you're not allowed to marry her, Chayve Lavin, there is Knas, which we know is, the Gemara will say, Reb Shimon HaTemani's opinion. What is the alternative to say Kamle be the Rabba Mine? Who holds Kamle be the Rabba Mine be Chayvi Mises based in Chayvi Krisus? I'm Nechunya Ben Akana. So Tosso says that it doesn't make sense to say it's from Nechunya Ben Akana because Nechunya Ben Akana's whole point is that Chayvi Krisus is the same thing as Chayvi Mises based in. It wouldn't be Arayos and Shneos. Whereas, if you're talking about Rabbi Shimon HaTemani, so Chayve Mises Beisden and Chayve Kresus are, firstly, he doesn't say this explicitly, but I assume that Chayve Mises Beisden are excluded because of Kamei B'Drav, and Chayve Kresus are excluded because of Alosi Elisha. And therefore, it's two different things, two different reasons, and that's why you listed it as Arayos and Shneos. And now the Gemara says, if you say that Arayos Achayvi Mises Beisden and Shneos Achayvi Krisus, Aval, continue with the Diuk.
Aval, Chayvi Lavin, Yishmanin Knas, Umani,
Shimon HaTemani. Right, so it has to be Shimon HaTemani. Shimon HaTemani believes that Navi nothing to do with the Kamalei Rabbi Minei. Chayvi Krisus, there's no Knas because it's not below Si Elisha. And the proof that there is one case where Rav Shimon HaTemani would agree that by Chayvei Kresus there is Knas. And what is that case?
Nida.
Because Nida, it is Ruhi L'Kaima. Are you allowed to marry a Nida?
Yes.
So Kiddushin on a Nida for sure is a Mutter. And it's Tosin. Abaye has a comment that we saw in Yibamos Daf and Tess in Kiddushin Daf Ayin Ches. Abaye says, "Akomo de mebal anida that the vlad is not a mamzer because kiddushin are tofsin. Kiddushin are tofsin. There's a machlokas whether or not you can have nisuin by anida chupas nida. It's really machlokas svardim and ashkenazim. Right? The svardim are much more machmer in chupas nida because the Rambam the ashkenazim are mekel in chupas nida. But anida is ruui lekaima for sure." And therefore, Shimon HaTemani would say that of course there's knas by Baal Anida. There's no knas by Baal Achosel, Achosavid, Achosimo, Valishas Achiv. But there is knas by Baal Anida, even though this kares, because it's not because of Kamlei the Rabba Minei. It's because of the Losi Elisha, Isha, Wekidushan Artosin. From the Chunya Ben Akana, what's the din by Baal Anida in terms of knas? Kamlei the Rabba Minei, because he says kares by definition. Kare Shali, Kemitza Shalochem. Fine. And now the Gemara presents an alternative Lashon, Ikad Amre. Okay, so you could say that Arayus would be Chayve Mises Beisden and Chayve Krasus, and the Shneos would be Chayve Lavin, and that would mean there's no Knas either, and it would mean that this Braisa was of Shema Manasseh. Okay, fine. So that's the story. It's not what I would have guessed the Braisa meant. I would have said that Shneis L'Arayas meant the Rabbanans and that the Rabbanans suspended the Knas. They treated like an Erev of the Raisa, but the Gemara apparently thinks otherwise. Okay. Fine. Parenthetically, we didn't go back to do the Yerushalmi, but I don't know that there is anything in the Yerushalmi on this. In other words, we haven't, I think we did until the second Mishnah in Yerushalmi. So unless it comes up, I don't think there's any discussion here. I'm surprised, but I didn't check. Did anybody look? Okay, so the first thing we all should have done, how do you know whether it's in the Yerushalmi? So you call it the Yerushalmi, but in this case, because it's not in, I don't know if he's going to have anything. You may have to just check in the Yerushalmi. Again, we completed the entire first halacha. So unless it's on the second halacha, the Yerushalmi is just not going to be discussing this. But you could check the Yafei and Ayim and see whether or not he has anything here. So just in case you're interested, Brick, as I was looking to see here, but there's nothing in it, they quote Rav Yaakov Emden, who wants to say your explanation about Chotei Niska. Anyway, you can look in the Alchemy Farshman. Okay, I don't think they have the Ifein I'm in here, don't they? Or are they printed separately?
I think it's separate.
They printed separately? No, Rosh
Hashanah? Yeah.
Maybe in yours they do. I don't think they do it in mine, unless...
It's after the
Alchemy. After the Alchemy. Oh, it is. You're right. Let's see if they say anything. No, not on this part at least. Okay, fine. Next, Hamima Enes, Ein La Knas. Continue, Hill. Is there a question? No. Okay, go ahead.
Hamima Enes, Ein La Knas, Lo Kibwe.
Okay, so just a comment about the diuk. We discussed this a little bit yesterday. We haven't explored yet fully why is that the Nema'enes gets no knas. But it's fair to say the following. If we say that a Nema'enes has no knas, why is that? Because she's a Nema'enes. What do I mean by that? That's tautological. What I mean is that had there been, when a woman is Nema'enes, there are two things that happen, for sure. What are the two things that definitely happened? One, there was a Maisa Kiddusha when she was a Katana. Two, there was a Mion on her part that dissolved the marriage, whether it's retroactive Sam or whether it's Mikan al-Haba, but it erases evidence of the marriage. Hold off on that for the moment, right? It means there was a Kiddusha and there was a Mion. The implication of the Brisa is that if I take this very identical case of a Mema'enes, but all I do is I take an eraser and I eliminate the Kiddusha and I eliminate the Mion, in this case, we will say that there is a knas. That's what the Gemara is assuming. Now, the Gemara also knows, and we spoke about this a little bit yesterday, that the starting default assumption that Mion can only take place when a girl is a katana. Why? Because the reason why the Kiddushin aren't only the Rabbanan is because she's a katana. Once she turns into a gedola, either because min haTorah the kiddushin are chal automatically, which is I think a rejected sad as I mentioned yesterday in Yevamos, or because she looks like a gedola, and when you see a gedola who looks like she's married, whether she is or isn't married min haTorah, you need a get. You can't let her do mion anymore. Otherwise, people think, oh, there are two choices. That would be a great solution to the aguna problem, by the way. Mion doesn't work. So once she becomes a nara, and now she's halachically a gedola, so it could be that if she hasn't had bia yet, and they haven't done what would be a maisa kiddushin midaraisa when she's a gedola, she's not married in that Torah, but because it looks like she's married, because she's living with the guy, it looks like she's living with him, and she's a nara, you think, therefore they're married, you can't allow miyun to happen. So that means that our scenario of ma'enes, that there was a kiddushin, and there was a miyun, must be when she is a katana. And we say, mima enes, ein la knas, velo pitui. But bimashma would be that if she had not gone through the kiddushin and not had the miyun, what? There would be knas. So that's why the Gemara says, ha katana ba'alma islay. Money? Right, it's a machlokas the Chacham and Rabbi Meir at the end of the parak, whether or not the katana, whether kanas applies only to a nara, that's Rabbi Meir's position, or it applies from katnas through naras, and that's the Rabbanan's position. So obviously the brisa that implies that a mama enes has no kanas, but had she not had kiddushin and miyun, there would have been kanas. That must be the Chachamim shita that a regular katana is eligible for kanas. So now the Gemara says. So why would an islandist not have kanas and pita? So the Gemara explains. So in other words, the Gemara says, why does an islandist have no kanas? Because in order to get a kanas, you have to be a nara, according to Rabbi Meir. An islandist goes from katana to beggar. There is no in-between stage. And thus, if you say an islandist has no kanas, it must be because you hold like Rabbi Meir that a katana gets no kanas, only a nara gets a kanas, and an islandist is never a nara, hence an islandist never gets kanas. So this is a problem. This is a problem. Now one answer, which the, what's the obvious answer the Gemara could immediately give? Tavra, Misha Shanazo, Lo Shanazo. In other words, it's Akasha. Obviously, these two parts of the Braisa do not come from the same author. In other words, it's a source critical teretz to solve the problem. Yes?
We don't like that teretz, right?
That's always a last resort teretz.
But we had to say, but we just finished talking about how the first part of the Braisa is for sure Shimon to Timoni or Shimon Nasa.
No, but it might very well be. We don't know what they hold by the Katana issue. In other words, the Tana of this Braisa holds like Rav Shimon Menasseh or holds like Rav Shimon HaTimani with respect to issue A. Those are the only two Tanaim I think that we definitely know what they hold on that particular issue. The Shimon HaTimani, Rav Shimon Menasseh, and the Chachamim. So the bottom line is that you can have a Braisa where you have one Tana who holds different opinions on different issues. What he can't do is hold the same issue two different things. The problem is that these two parts of the Braisa are mamish the same nekuda. It's not that one is the Rabbanan and one is Rabbi Meir. It's that it's one is the Rabbanan and one is Rabbi Meir who argue about one issue. In other words, what does the Tana of this Braisa hold? Does the Tana of this Braisa hold that a Katana yesh lo knas or a Katana ain lo knas? It's got to be one or the other. The Tana of the Braisa might hold something about Velosi Elisha, might hold something about Katana, might hold something about X, Y, and Z. But the Tana of the Braisa has to be internally consistent. So the Gemara says, question mark?
V'chitema kula Rabbi Meir ben ma'enet sabar la k'Rabbi Yehuda.
Now, of course, here you have to, in order to make any sense of this Gemara, you have to read the next few lines. Rabbi Yehuda, who is Rabbi Yehuda? He's a Tana. What was his father's name? Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi. How common is Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah? He is the most commonly named Tana in the Mishnah. The most commonly named Tana. If you're that interested in statistics, either email me and I'll send them to you, or just take the Bar Ilan and you'll get a rough search. I suspect my statistics would derive from a rough search as well, but close enough. Rabbi Yehuda is the most frequently named Tana in the Mishnah. That's not counting the rest of rabbinic literature. So when the Gemara says, so you know it's about something about Mamanis, but still, what is Rabbi Yehuda Shita by Mamanis? So the Gemara now says, Umi Sarala, does he really hold that way? You still don't know. What does Rabbi Yehuda hold? So the Gemara, you'll see in a moment. Hatanya. Okay, so the Tosus talks about the Girsa of Alavan. I don't really care about the exact prod of what Rabbi Yehuda is referring to. What you understand is the following. Rabbi Meir believes that you can only do Mion up until Havash de Saros, which put in other terms, it means you can only do Mion until she becomes an Ara. I mean, only when she's a Ketana. Once she becomes a Nara, no Mion anymore. Rabbi Yehuda, who says, Achayar b'hashachor, means that even after she has become a Nara, there is a time period, up until she has a sufficient amount of hair, which you can say she can still do Mion despite the fact that she is a Nara. Okay, now one of the things, now, so what do you see from this Braisa? That Rabbi Meir doesn't hold like Rabbi Yehuda, because they argue about this issue.
Doesn't make any sense. Well, they're trying to say Rabbi Meir holds up this Listen for a second.
What the Gemara was suggesting was as follows. If Rabbi Meir believed that it was possible that a Nara in some cases can be Mima'enes, then what you could have said is when the Braisa says Mima'enes ein lo knas velo pitoi, you could say that the Braisa is addressing a situation where she is a Nara who is Mima'enes, and if not for the fact that she did Mi'un, If she never had had Kiddushei Miyun and not done Miyun, and she'd never been married at all, she would have had to get Knas now. Well, how does she get Knas? The answer is because she's a Nara now. But if you believe that you can never do Miyun when you're a Nara, so by definition, whenever you can be Bima Enes, there is no Knas. Whenever there's Knas, you can't be Bima Enes. So the Gemara had a momentary, fleeting, temporary havamin to think, maybe Rabbi Meir holds like the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda about the Yach Yarbar Shachar Al-Lafa, which you will know about already because the Gemara doesn't have to spell it out to you. So the Gemara says it's not true, because in the Makor, for this issue, it's a Machlokes for Meir Yehuda, and Meir says, Befeirush, as soon as she becomes a Nara, there can't be no Mamin anymore. So there is no way that the Tan of this Brisa can truly hold like Rabbi Meir. Cannot be Rabbi Meir. Okay, so now the Gemara wants to go from a different angle. Ella. So maybe the Brisa is Rabbi Yehuda, and so maybe the Brisa, which holds that an island is Ein Laknas, and a Ma'enes Ein Laknas, but Ketana Yesh Laknas. Well, don't make that deal. It's talking about a Ma'enes who's a Nara. It's Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, who certainly can have the possibility that a Nara is Ma'enes. And you'll ask, but Eilun is Ein Laknas, which would suggest that a Ketana doesn't have a Knas. Perhaps Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Meir on this Shita, on this question of whether Ketana Yesh Laknas or not. Because when you look at the Braisa later, the Mishnah later, the Braisa later, who argues? Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. So maybe Rabbi Yehuda agrees with Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara says, Misavar Lav HaAmar. On the Mishnah later in the parak, Rav says, Zo divrei Rabbi Meir, which is mashma, or v'imisa, if you were right in your supposition that Rabbi Yehuda agrees with Rabbi Meir, that ketana in laknas, v'imisa, he should have said,
Zo divrei Rabbi Meir, de Rabbi Yehuda mi
boile. Right, Zo divrei Meir, Rabbi Yehuda mi boile. Should have said, Zo divrei Meir, Rabbi Yehuda. Yes, Daniel.
Isn't there also possibly a stronger kasha you could ask that prevents Rabbi Yehuda from adapting Rabbi Meir Shita regarding the Tana and Knas, which is when you look at the Braita, which when they're quoting Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda in regard to Tana and Knas, it says Achikavi Shde Sara, not Tana and Knas, but
Mamanis.
Yeah, Mamanis, which would then suggest when it talks about Rabbi Yehuda, it says. It says Omer ad sheyirbe
shachar al alavan.
But ad implies that everything before then, the girl is able to become the ma'enet, not just when she, you know, is older.
Agree, but who says that she? But that's fine, and of course she would get it if it weren't for the miyun, the kiddushei miyun, and then the subsequent miyun. Of course she would get a knas when she's an ara. But how do you know what he holds when she's a ketana?
Because it says ad sheyirbe.
That means, on Masai Abbas Mema'enes, what's the starting point, which nobody states? They only ask what's the terminal point. What's the starting point of Miyun?
As soon as she's
Kiddushin, no matter what age she is, no matter how young she is. So Miyun begins then, and it goes all the way up until either she becomes a Nara or even after she becomes a Nara. That in no way sheds light on what Rabbi Yehuda holds by Knas of a Ketana. Doesn't shed any light, one way or the other. He could go either way.
You can't use the same logic that we used at the beginning where we said Hakatana Veil Ma'isla. That logic in regard to Rabbi Meir, you can't use that same logic in regard to Rabbi Yehuda.
No, Rabbi Yehuda is saying essentially explicitly that you can do Miyun from the day she's born or smart enough to say, I don't want, up until partway into the Naros period when the Shtei Saros. That's explicit. That includes, he doesn't say it, but it's obvious that it includes Ketana. The whole machlok is Rameyu who says, Ad Shtavi Shei Saros, is saying only when she's a Ketana. Rabbi Yehuda is not saying only from the time she turns into a Nara until she's Yarbish Allah Chalafan. He's saying from the time she's born until they're only discussing the terminal point. So now the Gemara says it can't be Rabbi Yehuda either. So then the Gemara says, and then rather, what do you have to say? Okay. So how does this, what is this saying? It struck me as odd at first. It is the same answer as the first two answers.
It's just now we're supposing a person doesn't exist yet.
Correct. That's the point. Tosis, in fact, points out that we have a Gemara in Sanhedrin. I'm not going to Tosis and Isa. There are deos that you could attribute the Brisa to. So the Kashi, you might ask, is either Bionasan or Bioshia, maybe both. So Tosis says, why didn't the Gemara, how can you make the Diuk Zodiv Rabbi Meir? So shouldn't that prove that it's Zodiv Rabbi Meir, Velo, Rabbi Yonasan, Velo, Rabbi Yoshia? Just like you said, Velo, Rabbi Yehuda. In other words, there should be, another way of putting it is, if we say Zodiv Rabbi Meir, it means nobody holds like Rabbi Meir by Katana. Rabbi Meir is Adas Yachid. So how can they then turn around and say, oh, the Tana of this Brisa holds like Rabbi Meir by Ketana, Yehuda Mama Enes. You just said, Zodi Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is the only one. That's the Kasha. Right? It is exactly the answer that was just given, which you defeated on the grounds that only Rabbi Meir holds that a Ketana gets no Knas. Everybody else holds, everybody holds, that a Ketana yesh lo Knas. What? Did the Gemara just say that?
The Gemara went through every single Tana and said that no Tana holds it other than the two that we mentioned.
The one, for the moment.
Right, but what we did was just say not Rabbi Yehuda. We didn't say
not
a single Tana.
No, but the deal, how did we know that it wasn't Rabbi Yehuda? Yehuda never says Beferish against Rabbi Meir. It's because Rav says, Zo Divrei Rabbi Meir. And if Rabbi Yehuda also held that way, he should have said Zo Divrei Meir Rabbi Yehuda. So why shouldn't Rav then have said Zo Divrei Meir Rabbi Yoshia? Or whoever this Tana is, the man behind your one, why didn't Rav say, Zo Divrei Meir Rav, whoever? So what's the answer to the question? Yes, Ezra?
What if he wasn't alive yet? I just don't...
The Tana would have been alive before Rav. I know we say Rav Tana Upali. Rav is the last Tana.
But that's true, but you could also say, like, what if they just didn't know about him?
You're on the right track,
but the Rabbi Yehuda thing is just to say that since he's saying it, he can't hold that way. But
why not? Rabbi Yehuda's not mentioned at all in the Brisa.
Rav did.
Rav says Zodivrei Rabbi Meir.
Amar
Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. That's the Amora Rabbi
Yehuda.
Oh yes, Mati. They would probably in a Brisa. They are, by the way, Rabbi Yonas and Rabbi Yoshia are Tanaim that you will very rarely see in the Bavli, more in the Ushalmi and the Midrash Halacha. They would Talmidim and Rabbi Yishmael. All the Tanaim that we know of typically, of the post Rabbi Akiva generation, are Talmidim Rabbi Akiva. Rameir, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Nehemiah. They're all Talmidim Rabbi Akiva. We don't get the Torahs in the Mishnah. You have Rabbi Yishmael occasionally in the Mishnah. I believe Rabbi Yonas and Rabbi Yoshia, Rabbi Yishmael's Talmid, and the others never appear in the Mishnah. They're found in other Tanaitic works. So you're on, basically what you're saying is correct. You can narrow it down without having to know that, which is Rabbi Yehuda is Rabbi Meir's most common Bar Plukta. There's a small circle of Tanaim who are associated with one another. Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yosei were the four big Talmidim. And you can add in either Rabbi Lazar or Rabbi Nehemiah. Actually, a big five. Include Rabbi Lazar. Some add Rabbi Nehemiah. Of Talmidim, Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara is in Yevamos. I think it's Daf Samach Bezim and Bez. That you all know the Gemara. Rabbi Akiva had 24,000 Talmidim. And Kulo Mesib and Pesach La'atzeres. Nation alagu kavod zavizeh v'haya olam shamim ad sheba Rabbi Akiva laros etzor Rabbi Seinu shebedar mishnah and Torah v'heluhem Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yehuda Rishim Relazar Rabbi Yosei I think v'amin lav Nehemiah. So that's where these are Rabbi Akiva's big talmidim that who are really forming the basis of the Mishnah. So all the Gemara was saying is that in the context of Rabbi Meir, so his bar plukta is typically Rabbi Yehuda more than anyone else. So if Rav should have said zo divrei Meir for Rabbi Yehuda, if Rabbi Yehuda held that way, obviously Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold that way. Rabbi Yonas and Rabbi Yoshia man dechar shemei whoever. Mention the names. Nobody would think, when you're saying this is Rabbi Meir's opinion, it means in his circle. Rabbi Yonasan and Rabbi Yoshi were not part of Rabbi Meir's circle. That's essentially what Mati said, and it's correct. That's what Tosa suggests here. Tosa sort of two-thirds of the way down. Let me show the Rabbi Yehuda Bar Plukta, the Rabbi Meir, the Havi Bichlal Chachamim, the Pligyele, Ulahachim, East, the Lopalik, Havi Lele Meir, Zot, the Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. Fine. Anyway. So that is the first approach in the Gemara, to understand that there is the Tana John Doe, who holds like Rabbi Meir, Rabbi John Doe, excuse me, Gadol Mikulan Shemel. Okay, so Rabbi John Doe, who holds like Rabbi Meir by Ketana Ein Loknas, and like Rabbi Yehuda Adamaseh Basim Ma'enes Achi Arba Shachar L'Lavan. That's the first answer. What's the second answer? Rafram Amar.
Rafram Amar. My Mima Enes. Haroya Lama'en.
Okay, so what is Mima Enes? It mean, doesn't mean a girl who's Mima Enes. It means...
Ketana.
Someone who's in the category Mima Enes. Clever. And then, you don't have to get her into the problem of being Mima Enes when she's an Ara. The diak that you made is wrong, because the diak that you made... The Braisa was coming to teach you exactly the opposite. So now the Gemara asks a very simple kasha. Okay, well, as they say, say what you mean and mean what you say. So why tell us this way? Just say, Ketana in Laknas. So the Gemara says, okay. As an aside, an issue that we may come back and discuss, there is perhaps theoretically another reason why you couldn't say that this is a reference to Ketana. When we say katana ein la pitoi, that can mean two different things. You know where I'm going with this now?
There's no category of pitoi by her?
Correct. There's a Gemara in Yevamos in a couple of places where the Gemara says pitoi katana onesu. I'm trying to remember the exact context. One is, I think, that I want to say it's around Daf Samach. But it's wrong. I think it's a little earlier than that. So... Usually the context in which I think we say, can't be. I don't remember in what context we use that. I have to look, I should know this, but instinctively, intuitively, we would have said, I think the way most people understand, oh no, I'm sorry, it is clear in the Gemara. There's a whole thing about this. The Gemara is implying that when a ketana is mezana, she's not asura labaila. A woman commits adultery, assuming her husband's not a Kohen. A woman commits adultery willingly, she's asura labaila, certainly if he's a Kohen also. If, however, a woman is raped, then she is buteris labaila, unless he's a Kohen. So what about if the wife is a ketana, her father married her off, they married b'nat Torah, and now she commits adultery. What's that? So Gemara says, Pita Ketana Onesu, and the Ketana should be Mutaris Labaila. The Rambam was of a different opinion, which is a minor problem, because generally speaking, you can't argue in the Gemara. And in case one would say, it's a Machlokas Rishonim whether you can argue in the Gemara, the Rishon who makes most explicitly clear not only that, but the basis of the fact that you can't argue in the Gemara, is the Rambam in his introduction to the Mishnah Torah. That's like cardinal number one rule of all Psak Halacha, is the Talmud Bavli is the final word. When you want to know whether something Mikra or a din is asur or mutar, the Bavli's ruling is definitive. If there's nothing in the Bavli, then you can look to other sources. The Yushalmi, Mirshalacha, how much authority you want to give them, fine. The Bavli is the definitionally the work of the final word in Halacha.
He was replacing it, so that's why.
And in fact, no, he was summarizing it. He was replacing the need to look it up, not replacing its authority.
Where in Gemara is
Peter Kanonis? It's in.
Oh,
okay. There you go. I wasn't. What? This is Dafyomi, man. He probably looked at the Bar Ilan now, though. Yeah, I'm sure of that. Okay.
That good.
Metzger has enough trouble remembering what we did last week, and I'm.
What do
so do I.
What did 2 weeks ago when you quoted the one with the yeah.
No, Yidroma Tzadi is Akira Stavim and Atara.
That was
yes, thank you, Chaim. Okay, fine. Okay, so a word about this issue.
But that doesn't work with our Gemara.
What's that?
The Rav Meir puts it. Meaning we assume that since he says there's no pitoi, therefore it doesn't work in our Mishnah. But if you could really say that every pitoi is really ones, then it would still work with our Mishnah.
No, I know it's true. It just meant the phrase "ein lo pitoi velo knas" is a funny expression to use by a katana where there is no difference between pitoi and knas, because pitoi katana onus. That's all. I agree. You can read it if you want. So, what you do with the Rambam is a interesting question.
No, but I mean that creates a question. Doesn't it seem that since we disagree with the Meir that maybe we do believe that there is pitoi here?
No, it means that we believe there's knas by a ketana, but it may all be under the rubric of onis. That's all. So, Chaim, did you look up the Gemara in Yevamos, by the way? What does the Gemara use it in the context of? I think it's in the context that she's Mizana, it's not considered Baratzon, but I'm not sure. There's a reason. What's that? So let me tell you what has been suggested for the Rambam. Firstly, the Svara. I don't remember if these are two different answers. I learned this in 11th grade with Rabbi Twersky. Okay. I remember things better from that year than things that I learned last year, or taught last year. So it goes like this. There is a famous Tshuva the Marik. He was asked about a woman who committed adultery because she thought that it was mutter. Okay. No, that's a later. It's a famous tshuva. It's Noda Behuda. It comes down to the same issue. Yes, I think it's a tshuva Noda Behuda. A man, this traveler comes and visits and stays in this house. The husband is away, and the man comes to the woman and says, "I have a secret to tell you. I'm Elio Anavi, and you're going to sleep with me tonight, and we're going to make the Mashiach."
His side comments are so funny.
Okay. I don't know if I've seen the tshuva inside personally. Okay. Anyway, so the question is, and she believed this four foolish ignorant woman believed him. Needless to say, he wasn't Elio Anavi, and then he made the Moshiach. Okay, fine. The Shaila was she Muteris Labaila? No, I think, you know, is she Muteris Labaila? That's the question, because she's Shogeges. What?
It was like a
Mafat. No, she thought it was Mutter.
I know, she was like, Mafat.
No, he was Mafata, but normally Mafata, it's not that the girl doing thinks that it's Mutter. Right. In other words, if I induce you, if I lead you astray, I often do that by doing things that you know are prohibited. It's just I persuade you. Come on, you know the schar avera is so much worth it. Don't worry about the hefset, right? But here she actually thought it was a mitzvah. Most people don't know the Rambam and don't know Lo Bashamayim. And if a person comes to them, you know, with a long beard who they think is somehow a great rabbi, convinces them a great rabbi and tells them Elio Anavi and they should sleep with them, many people might be fooled by that. Some of them, you know the story in Sanhedrin of Tzidkia and Echav? It's a takeoff of the book of Susanna in the Apocrypha or Pseudepigrapha. Two Nevi'im, Tzidkia and Echav, are mentioned by Yirmiyahu that way roasted in fire by Nebuchadnezzar. So the Gemara says that Tzidkia and Echav, each one went to the daughter of Nebuchadnezzar and said, "Hishami to the other one, go sleep with the other one." So she was a little suspicious, she went to her father. And I love this, the Gemara puts in the mouth of the Nebuchadnezzar, "Michdei Eloheim shelzo sone zima." Okay, that's a line from Bela Harasha. And obviously the Nebuchadnezzar didn't think it was right, so he asked Yirmiyahu Navi Shaila, and Yirmiyahu Navi says, "It's a lie, not true, God never told him." So they said to Nebuchadnezzar, "What do you mean? We're Nevi'im. Just because he thinks he's Navi, we're Nevi'im." So he decided to test them. He was going to test them by throwing them to the Kivshon HaEsh and see if they survived. Because he said, "Look, Hanani, Mishael, Azariah survived, so we'll test you." So they said, "Yeah, but that's not fair. They were three, we're only two to protect with our merits." So he said to them, "Pick a third." So who does he choose? You have to love the beauty of Agadah. They choose Yoshua ben Yotzadaka Kohen Agadol. Now, they throw all three in. The two of them get roasted. He, because he was with two Rishayim, got singed. That's why his Begadim and Zechariah were Begadim Tzoim. Okay? So anyway, apparently the daughter of Nebuchadnezzar was smart enough in the Medrash to know that something was suspicious. But this poor woman obviously didn't realize that he wasn't telling enough. And if he was, he shouldn't listen to him. Okay. And please don't ask me what's Din Eli Novi. Is he a Gavra or not a Gavra? Is he a Menadim or not? Okay? Otherwise it could be Mishamish Mace. Yeah, okay, I know, okay, fine. So anyway, coming back to our issue, the Marik quoted in one of the last Simonim in Eben Ezer, I want to say it's Kufayin Ches, the Marik claims that if a woman commits adultery thinking that it's Muteres, as opposed to she didn't realize it wasn't her husband, right, now that someone sneaks into her bed at night, she thinks it's her husband, but if she knows it's not her husband, but thinks that it's okay, it's Muter, so the Marik says that she's Asurala. The Ramah quotes two deos. The basis of the Marik is that even though she's Shogeges, and remember, what is the normal Shogeg B'chol Tarakula? Omer Mutter. And on Shabbos, the typical shogeg is, I don't know, it's also to turn on a light. I don't know, it's also to cook food. Shabbos is another kind of shogeg, you forget it's Shabbos. But most shogegim are Omer Mutter. So the Marik here says this is exceptional because Umala Voma'al. Because in this case, she knew that she was betraying her husband. Even if she didn't, know that it was asa mina Torah in terms of losinah, she knew that it was a betrayal of her husband, which, of course, Ramosha, I don't know what he says in answer, Ramosha has a tshuva about this. What about a woman whose husband has some sick ideas in his head, wants her to do this? Then it's not a malav amal anymore. So that's, anyway, believe it or not, 20th century, any tshuvas exist. So anyway, so what they say for the following is the Rambam Svara in why Pituik Tana might be Asur Labayla is because it's Umala Vomal. That even if she's not a Bardas in the technical sense to have, that it might not be considered fully Ratzon, she understands that she's betraying her husband. Now, the problem is that's a very nice Svara, but it's against the Gemara. And any Svara that's against the clear Maskanas of Gemara is wrong by definition. However, Rabbi Kiva Inger points out that there might be a Gemara on Daf Tesa Maral, a very famous Gemara in Ksubos, based upon a kash of Tosos on the Gemara, which would suggest that Pituk Tana Lavonis, meaning that the Sugya and Daf Tesa Maral here holds that Pituk Tana Lavonis, and that if a Katana was Mizana, she's Asura Labaila. And he wants to suggest that it's a Machlokas Asugyas, and the Rambam Paskin like the Sugya and Daf Tes. Okay, I'm not going to go into, if you learned a very famous Tosos, a kash of Tosos asks, it's a very important Sfeik Seika Tosos, but the Rambam could have answered that Tosos. You can answer that Tosos if you assume that Pituk Tana Lav Onesu. Tosos' whole kasha is predicated upon Pituk Tana Onesu. Tosos says it Beferish. Okay. Anyway. All right. So that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, the last second there, it's quoted in the name of Raphram, is that a mema'enes means a katana. It's another way of saying it. And the Gemara says it should have said katana, and therefore kasha, that answer doesn't seem to be correct. Therefore, we settle with the first answer. Fine. All right. Any questions so far in the Gemara? Okay. So now let's go back and start to look at a couple of issues. Number one, ein lo kna, lo kna, ein lo, lo knas velo pitoy. What does knas mean? So thank you very much, Hillel, and got to make sure my glasses on. Andy is eagerly awaiting to spell his chavrusa. Take a look at Rashi. Dibra matzchil. Ein knas.
Danusa.
So Tosfos writes here, go ahead, lo knas velo pitoy.
Itzigares lo ones mishum.
Velo ones.
Velo ones.
Right, in other words, it should be itzigares lo ones, right? Sadi, what's the correction? Yeah. Lo ones. In other words, it says, ein lahem lo ones velo pitoy. And why should you change the gear? So why should the gear be different? Sam, did you bother to look? Okay, your job is to check your source, okay? I gave you the material, you put it together, you go check your source. Go ahead, so, you didn't get this far, or?
I just didn't get this far yet. I tried skipping it.
You had all a vacation. What's your excuse? Go ahead, Andy.
The Omeri.
I'm sorry, so what, Mishum, why would you change the gear cell, or want to have a different gear cell? Mishum.
Mishum, the pito and nami knas.
Yeah, what do you mean knas? The payment of mafuta is also knas. Not just the vones. The Omeri,
the Kersinan Lay, the Shaykh Lumikre, the Laones Knas, Tfe Milupitoi, Mishum, the Ones Shota Batitel.
Okay. What in heaven's name is this answer? It is more Shaykh to call the Knas of an Ones Knas than the Knas of Mafuta Knas, because an Ones is Shota Batitel. Moshe. I think you're on the right track, but I'm not happy with that formulation, Zach.
I was thinking maybe the difference between the onus and the fata in this case is that if you divorce her, when we said that because shelo yichnos, when he doesn't marry her, he's got an heir.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like a knas, is almost like a compensation. It's a knas though. It has all the different knas, but it's. You didn't marry her, so now you gotta pay her because you took away value from her, you paid her father for it. But if you're shoved by a tito, anyway, you still have to marry her. It's, the knas is simply a punishment. It's just because you did a bad thing, so now we have to punish you.
I actually like that.
I think that terrace is absolutely excellent. It's not what I was going to say, but I think you might be right and I'm wrong, but I'm going to tell you what I'm going to say, which it may not be correct in Tosfos, but it's a point that needs to be made. Maybe you'll like my answer better. But that's an excellent answer. Before, let me tell you what I wanted to say first, and then help you understand what Zach's teretz was. Mati, you hear?
Doesn't once somebody call it knas shchiva, where they
that tanar shchiva is in the parsha of Onis.
Yeah,
So it's in the wrong parsha to be that way. Okay, nice. I like the idea, but it doesn't work here. What does it mean when we say something is kanas? There are two meanings to the word kanas.
It's like an unreasonable fine.
It's what do you mean by that?
It's not commensurate.
Thank you. It's not commensurate. In other words, it's not tashlumin. It's not filling in something specific. It's not commensurate. Typically, what is the what does the Mishnah say at the end of our perek? What is the klal? What makes something knas? Kol ha-mishalem? Yetzer amasha hizik ena mishalem al piatzma. That's the Mishnah, last line in our perek in the Mishnah. Memal ha-menal. Knas can mean it's not commensurate. Kefel, you're paying more than you damaged. Now, kanas of onis ha-mefata is generally assumed to be kanas because you pay whatever damages do. You pay pagam, you pay boshes. If tsar shaykh, you pay tsar. The kanas is above and beyond. Now, I want to come back to you on Ashriva Mat. I hadn't thought about it in this case. But that's one definition of kanas. And from that vantage point, it doesn't seem that there should be any distinction between kanas of onis and kanas of mefata. But there's another meaning of kanas. What's the meaning of kanas? Punishment. You know, when we punish someone.
Sam said this in Morning Seder.
Okay, so I don't know, Baruch Shekivant or Baruch Shekivanti. I don't know who said it first. Whoever said it first, the second one gets it, Baruch Shekivant, okay? But I thought about it yesterday already, or the day before on a paratosis. So it's Baruch Shekivant. Which is that knas is a punishment. And in other words, it's not that it's yes or masha hizik. In other words, you did something bad and we punish you for having done it. Now, and it's not necessarily, it might be deserved in a certain sense, whatever it is, but it's a punishment. It's not a financial measurement of, and let me give you an example of a knas that could be actually tashlumen in this sense. Supposing we decided, Dina de Garmay, a perfect example. If you assume that Dina de Garmay, right, of Rabbi Meir, is only the Rabbanon, which many Rishonim hold, it means that midoraisa you potter. Midrabbanon, we make you pay. Are you paying commensurate with the damage that you did? Yes, you are. But there's a technical patur that when you don't do damage actively, you're only garmei, then minatur you would have been potter. So that knas is commensurate, certainly with what you did, but it's a punishment because you're not technically liable. So I thought what Tosos was doing here was arguing that what knas means here is the second kind of knas. Not the knas in the lumdish sense, knas versus mammon. Is it masha hizik or yes or masha hizik? But rather, is it a punishment? By mafuta, since you have a choice whether to marry the girl or not, it's not exactly a punishment, paying 50 kesef. Right? You had an option. You choose A or B. Right? It's always better when you're raising children. You know, when you're raising children, I can't say I'm very effective at doing this particular methodology, but when you do it, it's always better to give them a choice. Even if it's giving them a choice of which poison to pick, let them pick their poison. They feel they have Bibles, they have something, they have a choice. And what do you want, you know? It's like Nasan comes to David and, comes to David and said, three things here, Bechar lach achs me'el, right? Pick one of the three punishments. Seven, depending which girsa, Devarayam Shmuel, 7 years of famine, 3 years of famine, 3 years of, who learned Devarayam here with me? It was one of them is 3, 3, and 3.
Yes.
Okay, and that's in Devarei Yamim, I think. It's 3, 3, and 3.
Yes.
3 years of famine, 3 months of war, or 3 days of pestilence, right? Gave him a choice. David chose the last one. So you give a choice. So it's not as much of a punishment when you sort of have a choice. You can marry the girl, you can pay. You know, there are options. Things happen here. And therefore, we might say, again, you don't. If the father refuses, you can't. No, he has a right to refuse. He can pay or he cannot pay, certainly on his end. So therefore, by onis, when you onis the girl, you have to pay no matter what. You're punished. You get everything. Everything, the whole book gets thrown at you. Therefore, maybe it's more shaykh to call onis kanas. That's what I wanted to say.
And you went
to Hawaii, you guys. He has no choice. Choice has been suspended. That's what I wanted to say. Now, I think it's a reasonable teretz. Sam thinks that's a reasonable teretz, right? Okay. But Zach said something I hadn't thought of. So you're going to repeat. But now, keep in mind, the definition of something being knas is when it's not actually commensurate. So you said...
when he's mafata, when he lets her go, when he doesn't marry her, so then he has to pay because now he owes her something.
Right, it's a compensation for now that she's going to get married. She's not going to be able to get that kind, that mohar. which is not, which is like a grumma. Really, that's a, I didn't think about it. My example of garme or grumma is really exactly that. Right? It's a grumma she's going to lose, but it's commensurate. Therefore, it's not exactly like knas. By an ones, you marry her, period. There's no need even. There's no need for a dowry in this sense, although it really is. You're giving the dowry now, I guess, so maybe it doesn't work.
Yeah, that's the
it doesn't work. You're giving the dowry now because then should she marry you, she's not going to get it.
No, but you pay her father either way.
What?
You pay her father either way. You pay her father in the case of Pitui because now he's not going to get as much for her as he would have otherwise.
Correct. But so means
now he doesn't have to work.
He doesn't. Well, if he marries her, he doesn't have to pay. Technically, doesn't have to pay anything, right? Whereas by in other words, if he marries her here,
right,
he doesn't pay anything. He doesn't actually have to pay the dowry. Oh, I'm sorry, no, because the Moab, so I got to back my head. He's going to have to pay to get her married off now, right? But, so you're right, no. So in this case, by Ones, the father doesn't have to pay to get her married off, right? He doesn't have to provide a dowry because she's married off to him and still he has to pay it. So that's why it's no longer just Tashlumen, it's actually Kadas. Okay. So I think it's a very, very good touch. Mati wanted to add.
Could you articulate it?
You want him to do it or me to do it?
Either one. I just want to hear it like said.
Okay, I'll give it a shot. If Zach doesn't like it, he'll provide alternative. His argument is that the kanas of mefata fundamentally is compensation. In other words, if I marry her, then the father doesn't have to provide a dowry at this point. I marry her. If I choose not to marry her, so now the father's going to have to get her married off, and he's going to have to provide a dowry. So I pay him what he's going to pay for the dowry. So that, in effect, is a certain kind of compensation. By ones, I have to marry her now. The father doesn't have to provide a dowry to anybody else at this point. He accomplished what he needed. His daughter's now married off. Now that you're making me pay, on top of that, that's not compensation anymore. That's a knas. That's not commensurate, because at this point, there's no loss to you.
Do you still need to pay the knas in the case of ones if I rape the girl and I end up marrying her?
Yes.
I still need to pay the knas?
Yes, that's the whole point. The whole point of the Mishnah is, and now you're going to know why Zach is wrong and I'm right. Just realized it. The whole point of the Mishnah is that ha'ones no semiyad and mafata l'chshayotzi. And that's why you're wrong, Zach. Probably. Because Tosaf should have quoted that part, not the Shosef Atzitza.
I was going to say, on both of you focus more on the mafata rather than the ones in your answers.
No, my point is, my aspect of the mafata is that he has a choice. The ones is Shosef Atzitza. He has no choice. Mm-hmm. So Tosis is quoting the...
What's
means that he has no choice. In other words, if he chose to rape a really ugly girl, he's got to marry her anyway. That's what Shosef Atzitza means.
Versus
broken bun. Yes.
He drinks from his broken
bun. I mean, I don't know if it's broken. Or it's just like a flower pot.
Yeah, cool.
Doesn't have to be a print.
Well, oh, come on.
No,
what's
that? Al tavahelo picha vilibcha yamaher loti davar.
Rabbi, could you explain that point again?
Why I'm right and Zach's wrong, yeah. I think? Because according to Zach, what makes it the fact that ones is knas but mefata is not? His argument was that by ones you have to pay the money immediately even though you're marrying her. By mefata you have a choice. So when you pay the money by choice, it's compensation. By ones it's not compensation, it's just a punishment. If that's the case, that aspect of the Mishnah says that ones nosei miyad, even though he's marrying her and he pays the knas now, the mefata l'chshayotzi, which the Gemara says, k'shelo yichnos, if he chooses not to marry her, then he pays it. That's the line that Tosas should have quoted. Instead, the line Tosas quotes is that in ones, the reason why it's more shy to call it knas is because it's shosef atzitza.
So you think Tosas should have said that...
Ones nosei miyad, and the mefata l'chshayotzi.
When do we say
Shosef Atzito?
And what part does it
matter? The Mishnah says that Ma Bein Ones the Mefata, Ones is Shosef Atzito, but the Mefata Ratz Lahotzi Motzi. Which the Gemara, the Bavli, understand.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
What's the difference between those two clauses?
No, the difference between the clauses is you're focusing, because your point is that you want to.
I thought we're focusing on
the definition of the
Knas. That's what I'm
talking about. And his explanation understands that because we're talking about penalty and we're trying to show the chum, like how chumr the avera is almost, or chumr the punishment,
therefore, that's the logic of using the word knas in our Mishnah. Or that was Rebbe's.
I'm saying that what makes ones a knas, the way I explain, is that an ones has no choice but to marry her. And whereas a mefateh has a choice of punishment, and therefore it's less of a punishment, because at least you get to choose. You get some kind of a choice. What part of the Mishnah says that an ones has no choice but to marry her and then marry her, whereas a mefateh has a choice? Ones shoseh vatzito, but a mefateh ratza lahotzi motzi. You're focused on whether you pay in a situation where it's not compensatory. That line is ones nosein miyad ul mefateh lichsheyotzi. Tosis quoted my part of the Mishnah, not your part of the Mishnah, as his raya that an ones is more knas. What's that?
Not take it personal.
No. I thought your turrets was brilliant turrets. No, I just don't think it's what Tosis is saying.
That the two clauses in the Mishnah, the fact in Ratz Lahotzi Motzi and Shoseh Batizo versus
Nosei Miyad versus Nosei L'Chshiyotzi
sound like they're very intercorrelated.
No, they're two separate. There are multiple differences between Ones and Mefateh. Tsar,
Motzi when he wants to, if he pays.
No. But I understand that. You're saying that because an ones only pays when he doesn't marry her, that's compensatory. Whereas an ones who pays even though he's marrying her, and the father doesn't need to give this money to anybody else to get her married off, because she is married off already, and yet he still pays, that's not compensatory. That's knas versus mamon.
Right,
and that line in the Mishnah is ones nosein miyad u'mefateh im lo yichnos. I'm going to use the Bavli's formulation of it. Right? That's what generates the difference the way you're explaining. That's not what Tosus quotes. I'm suggesting that an ones who has no choice but to marry her, that's really a punishment. The mefateh, it's a punishment, but it's less of a punishment because he has a choice, either marry her or pay. That line is ones shoseh vatzito, but ha'mefateh im rotza lahotzi motzi, which means im rotza l'shalachnis eno machnis. That's what it means for the Bavli.
Except the way in the Sheet of Midwet that basically says, like, that. Should I read it?
No, it's irrelevant. I'm not asking you what the Re in the Sheet of Midwet says. I'm reading what the Re in Tosa says, and they may not be the same thing. Okay. But now you can read what the Re in the Sheet of Midwet says. Go ahead.
Marie, the Shaykh, the Mikre, the Ones, Knas, Tfeil, the Pitoi, Mishum, the Ones, Abagad, the Shos of Yakta, so Mishayim, the Knas, Al Mephata, in Mishayim, the Knas, El Lichelo Yichnas.
Okay, so I'm willing to accept if.
That's weird, also.
I actually can argue. I'm not going to press the point. I can argue that it still doesn't necessarily read the way Zach is reading, but that reading makes his interpretation equally plausible to mine. I don't think it makes his reading mukhruf, but I think it does make it equally plausible.
That line sounds weird because it quotes ones for half of it and a different sentence, meaning there's one sentence that includes both the ones and the thoughts, i.e. the timing of the payment. But instead, they use one statement for the ones part of the conversation, and then choose half of the other statement for the fata part of the conversation.
Right. So I think that formulation is allows ambiguity. I think it's presented in Tosfos without a more expanded form, does leaves less ambiguity. Okay. Anyway, very good, Zach. Very good. Okay. Yes, Danny.
It could be that I'm going to misquote this one. What was Rashi's understanding of the knas of
doesn't say anything. He just tells you that Rashi, Knas means Anusa.
Not here. Rashi's understanding of Altara. We said it contrasted with Ramban.
No, that was about Pitoy, and what does it mean to be Mefata? No. Rashi said...
No, not there. No. So maybe not as contrasted with Ramban, but we said that it was like said with Suba.
Yeah, Rashi was in Suba.
I thought that was like a Mora Absulos.
Yeah, Rashi was in
that's still Mefata.
Ramban said that it was... because the father's losing out on a later presence when he's marrying her.
Right. So
that's different. That's different than where we're going. That's different than what Zach is saying. Are you coming to support me? You don't have to. All right, but so that's the question, right? The question.
It might not be that the knas of ones is not a compensation.
You mean right? You know, he would have gotten that right. He would right. If the kanas is because you don't get a dowry anymore. And then this assuming it goes the other way, that someone would have paid the girl's family in order to get to marry her, which I think would have been
that's
the practice. Right. So if that's the case, then it's not compensatory one way or the other. I'm sorry. It's compensatory both ways, equally. No, but then you have to explain according to the no. But here's the problem. This is what I'm stuck on. According to the Ramban, if it's why should you be exempt from paying it when you marry her as a mafata? That's not a kasha on what you're saying. It's kasha on the Ramban.
No, according to let's stick with Rashi for a second.
Yeah.
Right. Rashi doesn't say that if I remember correctly about mafata. Says about
onus, no? No, Rashi says it by mafata, I think.
More
psulos. Right, that you know, kama resh. Right, it's ksuba. That's by mafata. So I'm reluctant to draw that in because I don't know how the Rambam would explain. I don't remember. He must say something. We've read this. Why is it that by mafata, if it's really the father's loss, so why, if you marry her, do you not have to pay the father? Either way.
Yeah, that wasn't my word.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, good. So we have an unresolved machlokas now. Fine, but so those now are two ways of reading Tosos. Excellent, Mati. Did you want to? Oh, you said something. Hanashchiva, right? Okay. I wanted to add something about the Hanashchiva. What did I want to say? You said it. I don't know. It escapes me. Okay. Let's maybe we'll stop here. We can do a full Shemot Esrei in honor of Rosh Chodesh.